There's been a fair amount of attention in the past week or two to the sudden outspokenness of a few former players who have come forward to corroborate at least some of what Mary Willingham and others have said about the way that the academic support program worked during the scandal years. And that, to me, you know, that's a very positive sign. It's very encouraging. I hope that it empowers some other former players to come forward to talk about their experiences, because they're really just confirming common sense, it seems to me. The system almost had to have worked this way, if you just simply infer from the numbers from the scandal years and the ways in which academic counselors necessarily work, the way they do their jobs. It almost had to be this way, and it's nice to have players confirming that now, and simply so that we can confront the problem head on and put all of the all issues to rest. And so I'm hoping that the courage of people like Deontay Williams will encourage others to come forward.
Would you say that information that they're sharing and that that, you know, sharing their time at UNC, would you say that that's new information as to, let's say, comparing to the time when UNC did see the punishments of the football team, did see the bowl penalty and the the scholarship penalty? Is that is that new?
Well, I think it is, because as I read that NCAA infractions report, the penalties were really handed down mainly for the impermissible benefits part of the story. There was some academic wrongdoing noted in the report, but the systematic nature of it was basically neglected in the infractions report. And so, not that I'm eager for the NCAA to come back to town. I think the NCAA is such a feckless institution that they can't be trusted anyway. So. I'm not saying that the NCAA needs to come back to Chapel Hill, but I think the institution needs to be sure that it's facing up to all of the past problems that were allowed to fester for so many years. And I do believe that the player's testimony is new in that respect.
UNC has an investigation underway with three unnamed, what they're calling outside experts right now, reviewing the data found by Mary Willingham. It's to be released in 2 to 3 weeks is the official word that we got from the faculty council meeting last Friday. Are you confident that what those reviews will find will support Mary's research?
Well, I wish I knew what to think. The university has been very secretive about the entire process. They haven't told us who these individuals are. They haven't told us exactly what figures they were given, what assumptions they set out with. We do know, I mean, Mary Willingham and I do know some of the things that they did not bother to try to get, and that in itself is troubling. I mean, there's information that they made no attempt to secure, and that is very curious to us. So. This is a bit of a black box. I don't know what's going to come out of that expert panel. We're all eager to see.
Can you share what, just generally even, what kind of information that was?
Well, in very general terms, I'll just say that, you know, Mary's co-investigator, the primary partner that she conducted these tests with, that person has never been contacted by the university, and that person has valuable information about the nature of the tests, the way the tests were conducted, how they evaluated them. And it's very curious that no effort has been made to reach her.
Speaking with Jay Smith, professor of history at UNC. Now, you told Bloomberg Businessweek in an interview about a month ago now that you'd like to see UNC voluntarily take down banners. Are there specific banners that you would like to see taken down? And what's the thought behind that?
Well, first, I should note that I said that half in jest, and if you think about the context in which I was making that comment, what I was trying to do was avoid having to answer whether the NCAA should come back to Chapel Hill. I don't want them back here any more than anybody else does. But I went ahead and used that opportunity to just make a point, which is that an honorable institution, when it has been struck by scandal, will try to make amends. And you know, not only Will it work to escape whatever penalties the regulatory bodies doing the investigating are going to lay down on them? But they will actually, you know, they'll own up to their mistakes and try to make amends to all of the competitors who perhaps were wronged by the illegality of which we were guilty. And, you know, I'm just making a simple inference here, particularly about the 2005 team, which was right in the middle of the worst period of the scandal. It seems that most of these paper classes and most of the abuses with independent studies took place between about 2002 and about 2008. And the simple fact is that we cannot avoid that 2005 team. How could they have not been benefiting from this fraud? And if they were, which is a question, of course, the university has refused to answer to this point, if they were, can we really in good conscience hold on to that banner? I'd like to hear some university official answer that question.
So do you think at this point, though, if UNC were to now go back and take those banners down, I think there is a fear of maybe an NCAA investigation in that point. So is that more from you a statement of that should have been done rather than let's do it now?
Fair question. Look, I would like to see the university show some contrition. This could come in any number of forms, but that would be one very dramatic form, obviously, which I don't expect. I don't expect this to happen. But I would like to see the university fully own all of its mistakes and offer a kind of apology to everybody who suffered as a result of those mistakes, including, of course, the athletes themselves, who didn't get the educations that they came here for.
On the interview that you did with Business Week, there was a lower third graphic that's been used, and it's been used multiple different places. The term fake classes, no-show classes has been used. Now, there's also been things, the phrase, as you said, the paper classes, and taking the class from a lecture style to a paper class, which has been deemed wrong.
Yeah.
But the fake classes and no-show classes has gotten some focus as well, that people are saying that that's not exactly what it was, that they weren't fake classes or no-show classes. Would you agree with that, that there weren't fake classes or no-show classes?
In a way, I think we're splitting hairs here, but it is true that technically they weren't fake because, after all, they did exist. They were on the books. They were scheduled. Some form of work was performed in those courses, that is, a paper was turned in. So they weren't fake entirely, but they were, it seems, no-show. I mean, there was no hands-on instruction provided. The instructor gave the course no time whatsoever. It does seem that at least some of the assignments devised for those courses were cooked up by academic counselors rather than the instructor. So that is, I mean, that's as close as you can come to a fake class without it being technically fake, it seems to me.
And then also, do you feel that there's need to hear from Julius Nangoro right now and to hear why he did all this?
I'd love to hear from Julius. Wouldn't we all? One of the many unfortunate things about this whole episode is that, you know, he walked off into the sunset and without ever saying anything to any of us, except for the couple of deans who managed to get him in a room for a while, I suppose. I would love to hear what Julius has to say.
Speaking with Jay Smith, professor of history at UNC. Now, also, one more thing about the banner comment, which you have now said was slightly in jest, and I understand what you're saying there, making a statement about that. But you said that by saying that, you wouldn't be popular for that comment here on campus and in Chapel Hill. Have you gotten any backlash from anybody? I mean, it seems like an interview that hasn't kind of gone viral, if you will, unlike some of these other ones.
You're right. And happily, I can report that I have received virtually no hateful email as a result of that interview. I think maybe my enemies are just getting tired of pestering me. And so I don't get the kind of volume of ugly email that I used to get. I'm very happy about that. But it may well be true that there was so much other news that week that it just slipped under the radar and not too many people saw it. That's fine, too.
Obviously, a lot of focus have been on student athletes. What kind of comparisons have you seen done, if any, with students who aren't athletes but are scoring at the same level as some of these student athletes? Some may be coming in with the same SAT scores. You know, obviously, a lot of people focus on the fact that UNC has a high score average of SAT scores and GPAs of high school, and then once they're here as well, very nice high scores for a high academic school.
Right.
Have you seen any comparisons with maybe some of the students that aren't athletes and aren't performing as well as the average and above?
Sure. I mean, now and then I do encounter a student who seems not to have quite the skill level that most of the other students in class have. Though I've always assumed that the student was admitted to the university on his or her academic merits, and that he or she was given the chance because the admissions office saw something in that applicant and in the application that made them think that they could pull it off, even if they were underprepared in this way or that way. But I would not deny that there are other individuals on the campus who are also struggling because of various forms of underpreparedness. But what's so troubling about the athletic part of this is that, you know, we know that there is pressure to admit such people because of the desire to win championships. And an entire system has been constructed. It's, of course, not specific to UNC. This is national. But an entire system has been constructed in order to keep people like that eligible to play, even when they not only are in some cases underprepared, but maybe have no academic ambition. They don't really care to perform at a high level in the classroom. And so it's kind of a fraudulent, hypocritical system that brings people to campus not with the intention of educating, but with the intention of exploiting. And that's why the athlete dimension of the larger problem is so troubling to me.
I know Mary Willingham is directly involved in the Obana case. Are you involved at all in that?
I'm out of that one.
So, and that one is talking specifically about the student athlete and using that student athlete to profit a university. Mm-hmm. Are you on that same side too, that case is just, that what they're going for is just?
I do. I'm very much in favor of the players in that lawsuit. I mean, I just think they are unfairly compensated, and they deserve either to be earning a salary or, at the very least, to be getting their university educations, proper educations, and the educational opportunities that other students benefit from on campus. And right now, I think a very strong case can be made, and will be made in the courtroom, I'm sure, once O'Bannon gets underway, that they're getting neither. They're getting neither a monetary compensation nor a true education. And that's, you know, it's immoral.
So to wrap all this up and focusing the attention back specifically to UNC as well, if you could hypothetically run the university right now and either do or say and express what needs to be expressed, what would you see the university do right now regarding the academic scandal and what's going on with how it's being portrayed to the public?
Well, I think I've said in your studio before that the number one priority for me is for the university to be fully honest and transparent. So step number one, to repair all the damage that's been done and all of the relationships that have been damaged in the past 3 or 4 years. Step number one would be to acknowledge all of the problems that have been brought to light, acknowledge their reality and their seriousness and the need to address them, and then make an effort to bring all interested parties to the table, to have an earnest, open, candid discussion about what needs to be done to address all of those interrelated issues. I know that the university would say, or that some at least at the university would say, oh, we're already doing that. We already have a working group that's addressing these problems. We have a faculty athletics committee. We have the faculty council that's been addressing athletics issues for years now. And there's some truth to that, but there has also been an effort to limit the nature of the discussions that take place, to limit the participants at the table, to exclude certain kinds of claims that have been made by Mary and others about the nature of the athletic program. And we need to get beyond that. We need to be able to face up to all of the interrelated problems that afflict the athletic department at UNC and across the country. And, well, as I said, one good start would simply be to acknowledge that the problems exist and to have an open-door policy and suggest that we all need to come together to the table to offer ideas.
When you applied to work here at UNC and now that you've stayed as well, I'm sure you knew going into it that it was a university with big-time college athletics. And obviously you know that now. Would you, going forward, like to see athletics stick around? Obviously, I know you're saying that there is a nationwide issue with big-time college athletics, but would you like to see athletics stay at UNC going forward, regardless, I guess, of how the national spotlight stays?
Oh, sure. I mean, this is an accusation that's been thrown at me a few times by Inside Carolina folks. That I hate athletics, that I want to bring down the athletic program, that I don't like athletes. That's nonsense. We can have an athletic program and should have an athletic program, and I'll root for the Tar Heels. That's fine, but we just need to address the problems honestly. I'm perfectly happy to work at a university that has a big athletic program. Nothing wrong with it. In principle, there's nothing wrong with it.